Michael's track.
¡Wow! Trigger warning. Estos son los Freedom Fiends, transmitiendo desde Podbay 2A, a 1 kilómetro de altura sobre el nivel del mar, en los estudios intergalácticos de la pradera. Alteramos tu locus cerúleo, calentando tu sinapsis con rejuvenecedoras ondas de radio. Esto calienta tu cerebro unos sabrosos y tostaditos 365 grados, manteniendo la avalancha de estratismo fuera de tu cabeza. Lo sienten, funcionan, lo sienten, and you gotta say sí. Michael W. Dean. And Jim Babb.
See.
Yeah. I don't know.
See.
I'm being attacked by small cats everywhere. I can't get away from them.
Thank you, Hugo. I'm imagining Donald Trump, like, with a brain hemorrhage, listening to that intro and just wondering where his wall is.
Yeah, and we'll never know because his hairdo will cover it. You know, the blood spill there.
The cat on his head, yeah. Well, Hugo's in Mexico City, but that's I think Donald Trump would still try to deport him somehow. Your voice is in America. That won't do.
Yeah, I'm taking somebody's job for sure.
Could he put a radio wall? Somebody that maybe like surround the country in a Faraday cage or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you you are taking someone's job, but it's someone who works for free. So it's Donald Trump probably wouldn't care that much about it. But I am looking for some free work. I'm looking for some work that people generally get paid a lot for. If anybody out there programs very well in the computer programming language C#, drop me an email, go to the Freedom Fiend site and post a comment, and I'll get back to you and I'll tell you what you can do for liberty. Basically, we need to add another programmer for Fiend Phone, because we don't want to burden Derek with it all now that it's not raising any more money for him. I want to get it done. I've got this short list of things that have to be done, including adding encryption, which will make it the best killer app.
And video. I want video.
Nope.
Come on. Nope. Come on, video.
Nope. Why?
I agree with Michael.
Why? That's mission creep, man. That's like saying, hey, This small, tiny night watchman government that only protects you is great. You know what would be really great? If we added a standing army, that'd be outstanding.
Are you comparing Fiend Phone to
anarchy?
to the government? Yeah. No.
No, I'm saying your version of Fiend Phone is the government.
No, you're thinking you can have a minimalist Fiend Phone, and it will always grow, and it will always assume more power over the world.
Cool, that's software monarchy.
I'm trying to grow it a little bit, but I need some programmers. But no, video is this is the most common thing I do on the Fiend Phone site when. Okay, like, we've made this thing that we probably could have sold for, like, $500 per... there are things like it that don't quite do it as well as Fiend Phone does, the thing we're using, that people charge a few hundred bucks for, and we're giving it away free. But even so, people go on there, they download it free, they use it, and then they start complaining and making demands. And one of the most common demands is, you need to add video to this. And I'm like, no, okay. We don't. We don't want
to. You're not listening to your customers. You know, that's valuable. That's valuable feedback.
I don't know. I'm going to have to side with Michael on this. I think we can attain the best audio we can, you know, possible for a radio show or for a podcast or to record it for the ages. Well, we can't do that with video. It's always going to get old after a couple years.
Well, also, video would reduce the pipeline and make the audio worse.
Well, so it would be counterintuitive. Right, but I want to get rid of Google Hangouts because it stinks, and I use Google Hangouts because I don't really have a good alternative. So
what you need to do is learn programming, and Fiend Phone is open source. You can add video. You can make a fork of it. You shouldn't call it Fiend Phone though. You should call it, you know, Brony Phone or something.
I was thinking you can always add ponies to any project, so yeah, this would attract the bronies.
I don't think they would sue you though. I think that they have figured out what few corporations have figured out, which is that if you let your fans get obsessed about your stuff and make their own fan art, it's far better than like any advertising campaign or, you know, $800 a pill thing you can think of.
All right.
Someone's talking about bronies. What's a brony? Who wants to define brony? You guys know what I'm talking about.
Well, it's an older male that likes and is obsessed about the cartoon and series. Yeah, My Little Pony.
Which is like a cartoon for little girls, like probably age, you know, like 5 to 11 or something.
Yeah, there's age appropriateness for that.
Yeah, but for somehow, they have conventions for this thing, and like 4,000 people show up, and like 98% of them are male. And people make a lot of jokes about it. Like I know people who make fun of the bronies and like, you're emasculated, you're asexual, you're a virgin, you live with your parents, you have Asperger's syndrome, like all these things. And it may all be true, but I'm here to defend the bronies. And I was in the camp of people who made fun of it until I saw this documentary. It's on Netflix. Just search Brony, B-R-O-N-Y. It's Brony is bros who like ponies. So it's My Little Brony guys. So,
like Vermin Supreme?
Is he one of them?
Well, he promises ponies on the ponies. Campaign trail. Okay. Maybe he's like working a secret demographic that none of the other candidates are working.
Here's what I want to say, and this is going to be the name of this episode, Arm the Bronies. Because there was they get picked on a lot to the point of violence. Like, there was one guy who's from rural Alabama who's a brony, lives with his parents, and he's over 18. And, you know, he went out and spent a whole lot of money on this, like, custom window display in the back window of his car, like hundreds of dollars on this beautiful, like, brony window for his back window of his car. And he said he was somewhere and like three guys came up to him with baseball bats and like smashed out his back window. And then one of them pulled out his rifle from his rifle rack in his truck and pointed it at him laughing and said like, you know, get out of here, faggot, or something like that. And I'm thinking like, you point a hunting rifle at me laughing, I'm going to shoot to kill, like with a handgun, 4 shots in your heart and 1 in your brain, literally. And I'm not bragging. I'm not saying I'm badass. I'm not saying I'm cool. I'm not saying I have magical powers anybody else should have. That is the appropriate response, wouldn't you say, guys? If a stranger,
of course,
first of all, proves, yeah, sure, like, you know, comes up to your car and starts smashing windows with a baseball bat, I mean, at that point, I think you'd be justified.
It's time to return, you know, fire immediately.
Yeah, even that's before an assault. You see a rifle. But you know, when they point a rifle at you, you kill them. You shoot to kill. You shoot to stop, man. And so I want to arm the bronies, or at least encourage them to arm themselves and not be bullied, man. Here's the thing. I'm all for anybody being obsessed with anything that's not harmful. And this is people obsessed with something that's not harmful. It's like, you know, gives them a reason to live. I'm all for it.
I think you should go to the next BronyCon and set up like a gun safety booth, like right at BronyCon, right? Why not?
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, with My Little Pony holsters and everything.
Oh, just think of it. Yeah, yeah. Because there's a lot of fan art. Like, people make stuff and sell it and you know, put a lot of, like, talent and time and thought into all the stuff they make. Yeah, yeah. Just think of the leather work you could do with a little My Little Holster.
Well, they have their slogan is friendship is magic.
My Little Holster. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who can argue with that?
Yeah.
Well,
all right, BronyCon, bring it.
Bring it on, yeah. I was thinking this prompted me to think it's all a continuum. It's just the last link. The bronies are the most recent thing that it's okay to hate and it's okay to attack physically. You know, it's coming from probably the atheist, the LGBTQI community or whatever, how many eyes, whatever. However many eyes you want to put it to the end of it. And, well, there's got to be a point where people think it's okay to hate something. And I think we're just taking it to its logical conclusion. It's not okay to do violence against anybody, even if they seem sick or I don't know, tasteless to you.
Well, I mean, is this any weirder than watching people at like a college football game, like completely like dressed out with like cheese hats and body paint?
No, it's less weird.
mean, what's the difference?
You know, there are like bronies who wear cowboy hats because, you know, cowboy hats go with horses. And some of the, I think one of the ponies has a cowboy hat. So why not have a gun to go with the cowboy hat? That's what I figure.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, friendship is magic.
It is. So I'm all for it. I just think these guys need to be armed. And I don't know if I'll be the one to go to the convention and teach it, but somebody should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Defend your
brony pride. Be the change you want to see at BronyCon.
There you go.
I don't know. Where does it happen? Where does BronyCon
happen? All over, man. All over.
Oh.
Well, it was BronyCon. It's held on the East Coast, United States. Baltimore Convention Center was the last one.
There's freedom fiends all over.
Oh, and the chairman's name is Josh Dean. One of his relation.
Probably is.
Yeah.
So that's all I got to say about bronies.
Looks like a big deal. Hey, everybody's into something.
So you guys want to talk about the postal worker that went postal?
It's kind of a, you know, I call that state-on-state violence, that story.
Yeah.
When will it end?
Here's the fun, like, recently, you know, the government loves to use this monopoly. Like, they have a monopoly on, you know, the mail, on the cheap, you know, not overnight mail that sometimes gets there. So, I have a P.O. box. They recently changed the law so you cannot have your concealed carry permitted weapon in your car in the parking lot locked in the glove compartment when you go in to get your mail. Like, literally, you have to risk getting your gun stolen or risk getting shot on the way to the post office by, like, parking off, you know, not on the, like, on the street. You can't park legally in the post office anymore with a gun. So,
well, who's gonna what do they do, random inspections, or does the postal police come out? Maybe, or how does that, you
but
know,
here's
what
the thing, like, the only violence that's ever, the only gun violence that's ever happened in America that I know of on postal property has been postal workers committing the violence. Thus the phrase "go postal." Like, so many, you know, like, fired or disgruntled workers of the post office have gone in and shot up the place that there's a term, "go postal."
When should you shoot the postman?
I don't know.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. I'm Jim Babb. I'm here with Hugo. Hugo's in Mexico City. I'm in Philadelphia. We're communicating across the fiend waves with fiend phone. So it's great to be with you, Hugo.
Likewise.
Yeah, it's been a little while since the fiend supercomputer paired us up as a random host together. So I'm really excited about that. So
yeah, anyway. The supercomputer knows better. So
yeah,
this should be a good show.
Yeah, so we got some news in Philadelphia that I wanted to discuss with you, see if I can get some of your feedback on. But
sure.
First, I need to do a correction, you know, because sometimes I do make mistakes as you know, like any human being. But unlike some, I actually need to correct them. In a previous episode, we discussed a bladder-challenged policeman who was all grumpy because this policeman was told that Starbucks bathrooms are for customers only, okay? And this created this created quite the stir amongst police enthusiasts, how we say, or bootlickers. I'm not sure what to call them. But anyway, a lot of people were upset. Starbucks had to apologize before they even figured out what had happened. But anyway, so we discussed this story with Randy and MK the other day, and there's this one particular guy I thought was the cop who was the one who was bladder challenged, but it turns out he was just the one that had posted this comment from his other one. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I actually sent this guy a Facebook request because it was a Facebook post initially reported on this this encounter at Starbucks. So I followed the link to the guy, and I sent him a link to the show. I was like, "Hey, I thought you might be interested. We just covered this on the Freedom Fiends. We had a discussion with a former prosecutor. Thought you might, you know, you and your coworkers might be interested." So anyway, I don't think he's my Facebook.
Was this the one about slicing cops?
No. It's we weren't slicing any cops. It was just we had a fun talk last week about the war on cops and all the silly stuff that goes along with that. So. Anyway, there's my correction. It wasn't this respond? Poor guy. He's just like, "Hey, I listened to it, and I noticed you got the name of, it wasn't me, because we had mentioned him, and his name is like, I can't even remember what his name is now. Gonna try to look it up while we're not talking. But anyway, I got that part of the story wrong because it was posted. It looked like it was his words, but he was just posting somebody else's words. So he was not the the bladder challenge cop. It was another one. But anyway, the war on cops evidently is really taking off, according to the police apologists, like the Fraternal Order of Police. They're so scared now that there's a what they're trying to do is create a law. A bill has been introduced to make sure that anytime a policeman in Philly uses force, his name or her name is automatically kept secret. Okay, so literally, they're so concerned about retribution after one of their employees hurts somebody that they want to grant anonymity to any cop that uses force. Okay,
so that sounds like the old saying: "It's not a crime unless you get caught."
Well, yeah, and sure. I think the next logical step would also for the Philly police to just go out on patrol wearing like black ski masks. Wouldn't that be like the next logical step when you're operating a secret police department and you're so concerned about them finding out who you are? Let's go with black ski masks too.
Sure, they do it from time to time when they're testifying, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't
their faces
know.
Are covered on some cases. Courts are taking in witnesses and their faces are covered. So yeah, that's probably should be the next step. Well, not should, but it's probably going to be the next step having secret police is a really, really dangerous thing.
How could that go wrong, Hugo?
Totalitarian state.
You think that could result in a totalitarian state?
It's practically the definition of a totalitarian state. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah. Well, I'd say when you have literally a secret police.
Yeah. You could say that.
Yeah.
You could say that. Yeah, probably,
I think so.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Meow, 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 meow. We're back. The Freedom Fiends are back, and this is Hugo from Mexico City, and with me, Jim Babb. Hey there. And we were talking about how the police are trying to keep themselves anonymous after doing some kind of violence and their names not be, revealed to the press or to the public. And I was telling Jim that looks like a good idea, well, not a good idea, but a good sign that maybe they're finally feeling ashamed of some of the things that they're doing in their daily work. And people are finally waking up to the fact that these people, these professionals of violence are, well, they are trying to be always above the law and have their own rules for themselves instead of,
right.
Different from us, the peons, you know?
Right. And, I got the name of this guy, Joe Leighart, or Leighart, Leighthardt. The original posts, he was the one who posted the story at Starbucks, where evidently this cop thinks you could just flash your badge and use the bathroom anywhere, right? Like, it's an emergency. I have to go. Police, urgent police business.
Yeah.
But anyway, what? So it did look like this was his post. So he posted it, and it didn't immediately say it wasn't, but some other articles did clarify this thing. But anyway, I couldn't find his name before because he defriended me on Facebook. I don't know why. I guess
probably there was some commercial on the Fiends he disagreed with. I don't know. Who knows?
ParanormalDate.com. Maybe that was it. But
yeah, he was offended by that.
You know, but when I posted it on his Facebook wall because I wanted people in his community to hear the discussion we had. We had a very frank discussion. We had a lot of laughs at their expense, granted. Okay, but this is a serious topic, right? And, you know, in the Fiends, we take a serious topic and we can laugh like crazy about it because sometimes it's hilarious, even if it's tragic. But what we're seeing is this manufactured war on cops. And I think it really is an interesting reaction to shifting public opinion, which is what you were mentioning. I think it's a sign that we have the public's opinion is shifting away from like, oh, the glorious heroes, oh, to, wow, these guys are dangerous. And you know what? Maybe we need to reconsider.
Maybe we should call a crackhead instead of the police next time. And
yeah, people,
well, it's been discussed on the Fiends in recent shows. The usual conservative, go back to where they say, who are you going to call, a policeman or a crackhead? And I was thinking, you know, maybe, well, the crackhead might hurt me, but he won't be charging me for it. So, yeah, who knows? And
I think crackhead will probably actually want to do some work for you because he needs money for his next hit of crack, right?
Yeah,
I mean, so
I think the worst of both worlds would be to call a crackhead police,
which policeman. And they do exist as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do.
But you know, I think their drug of choice is steroids. So I think it's a combination of steroids and booze and coke and whatever else they do. But there was this manufactured war on cops. We saw an interesting example. Did you hear about that story from Texas where this guy, this Texas guy, who he was like a big like police defender, and he was really mad about the whole Black Lives Matters movements and everything. So he basically, this guy vandalized his own truck, and then he blamed police accountability protesters, okay? He spray-painted on his own truck Black Lives Matter, okay, just to make them look anti-cop. He's like, see, I'm being persecuted for standing up for police and my heroes. Well, guess who busted him? The police.
Yeah, sure they did. You know, and it's the state always it's its own. So yeah, probably the police defenders are no better treated by police than people who try to make them accountable.
Right. Yeah,
at the
exactly.
end. At the end
yeah.
of the day, you know, when they really step on their toes.
Right, because these people are seen as we're all seen as mere mundanes compared to this. That's what Will Grigg calls us normal people. We're the mere mundanes, and they're this elevated caste in blue, and that they just look down on all of us as a lesser species. So
yeah, we're mere civilians. In at any rate, they have the same mindset. Maybe they're not military, but the police is increasingly being militarized. So yeah,
I frequently hear the term civilians coming out of you know, when people are talking about the difference between police and civilians, like what? When?
Yeah. When did they become military people, officers? They're not. They're civilians too, but they would think they're above us all.
Well, that's in theory, but you look at their wardrobe and their equipment, and it's clear they are soldiers. There's no doubt about that. You know, they've got bear tanks and troop transports and body armor and armed drones now. It's like, I'm pretty sure that is the standing army we were warned about.
Yeah, they are. You know, and it's I listened these past few days. I listened to some kind of discussion talking about them. What's the difference between the police and the military? And someone was discussing and talking about world government, and they would say, you know, if we had one world government, then there would be no armies fighting against each other, and thus. Armies are trained to deal with the enemy, and police are trained to deal with the citizenry. And I was thinking, you know, this guy hasn't noticed that when those things happen, it's just the police becomes an army, and they treat civilians as the enemy. It's just
fact.
That's just what's going to happen. Yeah, you know, if we had a one world government, we have the. At first, the military would be dressing up in blue, you know, to keep the appearances. And after a while, there'll be just an army against us. We'll be the enemy.
Right. You know,
like now. This was an
issue that was covered in the Battlestar Galactica remake. I don't know if you ever watched that series. In the mid-2000s, they reimagined Battlestar Galactica. And there's this famous quote, you see it passed around all over the time. It's from, obviously, a fictional character, but the writers really nailed it. And the quote goes, he says, he's like the military commander in the show. And he says, there's a reason you separate military and police. One fights the enemies of the state, the other serves and protects the people. When the military becomes both, then the enemies of the state tend to become the people. Right,
and that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, so very, some pretty good writers on that show. Really, you know, really in touch with the world. So why shouldn't we take some advice from a fictional character?
Yeah, we should. You know, usually fiction is fictional writers. Well, no, writers of fiction are usually more sensitive to the reality than, you know, than us. You know, on the radio or anywhere else in our daily lives. So they get to see the totalitarianism. They get to see where things are going. Then, you know, they're able to say it because they're only writing fiction. So they don't get into trouble.
Especially, you know,
the more fantastic
the story.
Orwell.
The more they can actually get away with really nailing the issues, because people are saying, "Oh, that's science fiction. No, that's fantasy. No,
that's just zombies, or those are kingdoms and kings and queens in a land far away or a fantasy world." You know, but you know, it's coincidentally they do the same things our rulers do. You know, like Game of Thrones, they're really 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 horrible. Characters there, kings and queens and princes and pretenders to the throne. But you know, I've heard people, you know, wake up after some of those things. You know, that king is really ruthless and bloodthirsty, and suddenly they realize those kings are the same kings we have. I've seen it happen, man. Yeah, they said, you know, I just tell them, you know, have you noticed how so many rulers and presidents are exactly like King Joffrey, and they go like, oh my God, that's true. So yeah, it does work.
Yeah. So
bloodthirsty, power hungry kings in the real world.
That's why I'm very thankful for the libertarian writers, fiction writers, and the playwriters and the other artists in the libertarian communities, because I really feel like they play a key role in communicating the ideas to, you know, well beyond our own echo chamber. You know, it's the artists that really have the bandwidth to spread our ideas. So
Both in terms of an audience, and also in the, you know, the license they have to picture those worlds and to communicate them. So if you paint anarchy or a working system, legal anarchical system on a novel like The Moon is a harsh Mistress, people won't balk at it at the idea just right away, as though you were, they won't say roads. It's just something on in the moon and a different world, and they will be more willing to accept it, at least theoretically. And suddenly they're in bed with it, on board with the idea.
So let's have some more writers, guys. More stuff.
Yeah.
More works of fiction.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. More libertarian rapping and music and movies and everything. Yeah, sure. That's what we need.
Yeah. Plays. I have a friend who's working on a play, which is The Trial of William Penn. And his goal is to get this into like high school theater departments. Okay. And I don't know if you're familiar with the story of the trial of William Penn, but it was an early case of jury nullification when he was on trial for speaking to a group of Quakers without permission, which was illegal. And he was charged, and the jury said not guilty, even though he was clear that he had done it. And they just thought this was unjust, and the judge threatened, and it was a big deal, and it makes a really neat story. So I'm really hoping that this goes as far as he wants it to, because it's Amendment, it's jury nullification, and it's right in there at a great target audience.
Worms. What better way to explain it?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless free market non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com.
Freedom Fiends. We're back. I'm Jim Babb, and I'm here with Hugo. Hugo. Hey. You've recently had an encounter with the state. Now, did they contact you, or did you contact them?
Well, actually, it was the worst thing is that I had to contact them. I recently switched jobs, and one of the requirements for them to hire me was for me to bring them a piece of paper that said I was not a felon. And I said I'm not a felon, and you have to go to the police, central office to do that. And so I had to go, and next with a lot of aspiring security guards and some other people there, so aspiring bureaucrats also. You know, those are the only people that get asked for those papers. Okay. I'm under the impression that they don't do that so often in the U.S. Right? They just ask if you're a felon.
You know, I'm not really sure about that. I've never been asked that, but I haven't really applied for many jobs, or I've been self-employed most of my adult life. So I don't know. I think there's, you know, maybe if you're in some kind of certain professions might ask for that, maybe school teachers or people that are operating vehicles or
probably albino. Security guards, people who have to use use firearms too, right?
Well, you know, but then then you hear about like the TSA, you know, it turns out they're like all kinds of felons and rapists and criminals and thugs. And
yeah, but they get a pass. You know, they're the government. They can hire whoever, right. whoever they want.
But there, yeah, there's so, a few fields where you think it might actually be prudent to find out if they're felons or not. No, those are
precisely the ones that are exempt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think it's pretty common here because I was in a large room with maybe 200 people trying to get their letters there, and I thought they were going to charge me something for that, but apparently it's free, and I'm putting big air quotes. Nothing from those guys is free, but I was reading the form, and apparently if you want to become a citizen, you'll be asked that. I became a citizen some years ago, 5 years ago, Mexican citizen, and they didn't ask me for that. And if you want to have a gun, you will have to present the government-run armory or gun shop with the certificate that you're not a felon. So that's the problem of owning a gun here in Mexico, or maybe even carrying. Carrying is really, really, really hard here in Mexico. You won't be able to carry either concealed or open legally. It's going to be very, very hard. But yeah, those are the circumstances. So I went there. It took probably an hour. You know, but I don't like contacting the government, especially if they're going to contact me. You know. What can I do? But, you know, going to them is just, you know, I have this sinking feeling that I shouldn't be doing that. And actually, I became a little paranoid. I said, what if I have a warrant? I don't know about it. You never know. It's the same here in Mexico. You're probably committing more than one crime a day just for the
sure.
multitude of laws that there are. I don't know.
Maybe you paid the guy a bribe, but the ticket still went through or something. You know, who knows?
Yeah, something like that. Or I don't know. I'm pretty vocal about being an anarchist, and I have a podcast, and I'm part of a movement that publishes articles. And, you know, it's not that I do anything really, really controversial, but I'm pretty outspoken. I'm pretty open about who I am.
Flagrant disregard for authority.
Yeah, and that probably wouldn't be acceptable to the powers that be. So I was thinking, what if I just getting here, trying to get a piece of paper for being employed by a new company, and I end up locked up? So,
but it's always a danger when you talk to a member of the badge class.
Yeah, it's like talking to a bully. You know, there's nothing you can say that can get you out of being bullied. If the bully wants to beat you up, they will.
Evidently, they did not. They did not capture you. Thank goodness.
Yeah, there were so many people there, so they weren't too worried about me. Yeah, I'm here. You know.
Thank goodness.
So in the name of Mexico, and you know, saying this is tyranny. So I don't know, worms to that. Let's just keep talking about liberty and going this way. Worms,
right,
yeah. We'll be back for the second hour. Let's go to the market. What do you say?
Right on.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squigelts from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, and now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Trigger warning. Estos son los Freedom Fiends, transmitiendo desde el cañón iónico de baja órbita del campo de reeducación libertario en la cima de la plaza financiera bestial en el satélite artificial Leaper 2017 en la región de Alpha Centauri. And this is not either Jesus or Jesus or any Spanish Tejano music station. This is Hugo with the Freedom Fiends calling, transmitting directly from Mexico City. And with me is Jim Babb here. And we shouldn't forget that this show is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, which allows use by everybody except for governments. And you can learn more about that at BIPCOT.org. Jim, are you there?
I'm here. Great to be with
you. So, yeah, it's likewise, same with you. We've been on the show for a couple times already, right? It's always been fun. Yeah. And you were telling me about the Pope. You were talking to me about the Pope and how things are all upside down there in the U.S. because the Pope is visiting.
Well, yeah, he's coming to Philadelphia. I think he's also going to D.C. and New York. But Philadelphia is freaking out. I mean, they are in just full-blown panic, okay? They don't know what to do. They've just decided, let's just mobilize every government agency. Let's pull all the triggers. Let's use all the tools. Let's clear the entire downtown of cars and set up security perimeters and shut off the highways and public transit and lock down the parking lots and make sure there's no buses coming in that don't have a special pass. And I mean, they are just going completely nuts. Schools are closed. My daughter's school, a private school in the suburbs, is closed because the whole region is expected to just be in utter chaos. Okay. Like, people won't be able to get to work. People won't be able to get to the hospital. Like, this is what they're calling for. They're calling it the Popocalypse.
you just reminded me when last time the Pope came here to Mexico, it wasn't either this Pope or the previous one. I remember was probably John Paul II. I was in college and my university was closed. For the same reason, it was a private university, and it was closed because utter chaos was expected, which actually happened. There was chaos; everything was shut down, roads, and all the way, and you couldn't even get to the university. So, yeah, this happens everywhere the Pope goes, apparently.
Well, this is, I think, a new level, okay? Now, Homeland Security has announced that this is a national security special event, okay, which I guess allows them to do various other stuff. And anyway, they've got radiation detectors and people checking IDs and all of this stuff's going on. And I noticed something kind of funny in one of the articles I read, that a September memo from the drafted from the FBI and Department of Homeland Security, and this was obtained by CNN, indicates that there are actually no specific threats against the Pope.
Well, yeah, sure. And
they're just assuming, hey, the Pope is popular, therefore, I don't know, let's all freak out, like,
for emergency.
Yeah, I mean, he's got like a bullet. Doesn't he go around in like a bulletproof bubble? And
the Pope Mobile.
Yeah,
he goes around the Pope Mobile, and that's a bullet. Yeah, it's basically a fish tank for the Pope, where he goes around and everybody can see him. And there was that one time where Pope John Paul II was shot by a Turkish guy, Ali Akka was his name.
But that's just the one. I don't remember where that was. I think that was in Italy. And but who would want to hurt the Pope in the U.S. especially? I don't know. Can you come up with a short list of people who would want the Pope killed?
No, I can't. I mean, lots of people don't like him, but you know what? I mean, we have like Obama coming to town too, okay, from time to time.
Well, that's...
It's only a mild freak out for that, okay? Like...
Yeah. Yeah, and there's probably more extremists who want to harm Obama than the Pope. Yeah, well, I would say so. And all the radical left, which there are such people, they're, you know, this guy is on their side. This guy is pretty, well, for all I care, he's a communist.
Yeah, I mean, he's practically like reading Bernie Sanders' talking points, isn't he? Like,
yeah. He's doing the Bible interpretation for Bernie Sanders' talking points. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's like
for Brony Sanders.
Brony Sanders. Hey, you know what? Let's start that rumor right now. Okay, that Bernie Sanders is really a big brony. Okay, he's like he goes to all the brony cons.
He's a crypto brony.
You might not recognize him because he's always in costume. Okay,
course,
but those on the inside know. Okay, so let's just spread that right now. I'm going to announce it. My sources tell me that Bernie Sanders is really, really into My Little Pony, and so there. I said it. So just don't fact check me or anything, and apologies to legitimate bronies for that dubious association. But I still think it'll be funny.
Yeah. To the legitimate, good, honest to heart bronies there, you're nothing like Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, exactly. I don't mean to say that you're like Bernie. I just think it would be, I think it'll just add to Bernie's mystique to, you know, to let it out that he's a big, big, big brony guy, you know? So, you know, and the free ponies is not far off from his campaign promises. You know, it's.
You know, yeah. That's just a slippery slope until we have free My Little Ponies. From free ponies to free My Little Ponies, there's just this one step. So
anyway.
Yeah, before the Pope came to America, he went to Cuba, and that really upset me because that guy basically just went to Cuba to, I don't know, back the regime. I would say he had meetings with both the current president, Raul Castro, the brother of Fidel Castro, and actually he met with Fidel Castro, and he did nowhere in his speeches he talked about human rights or political dissidents or people jailed, political prisoners in Cuba. And he was asked, because so many people were jailed when people were trying to get to him, and dissidents and Damas de Blanco, which is an organization that backs the political dissidents and people who are in jail, who have been jailed for their opinions in Cuba. And people wanted to meet with him, and people were jailed. And the press asked him about that, and he just played dumb. He said, I never knew there were arrests. And that's weird. He should have, he's surely playing dumb. And you know, and he goes to America and he visits jails, which he cannot do in Cuba. So I don't know. I think he's a bad influence overall politically.
I just think this. I guess he's, you know, considered a great man by you know. I don't understand the fascination. I mean, he doesn't play guitar. He's I mean, like. I guess you have to be Catholic to really understand, like, I mean, do people really see him as like, well, he, you know, he does talk to God. I better go find out what he's going to say. I mean, is that what they're thinking?
There's probably one or two people who think that. But I think at this point, he's just a celebrity. You know how celebrities are famous because they're famous? Like, I don't know what
so he's like. He's like a Kardashian, so to speak. Like,
you know,
he's just
a Kardashian or a Paris Hilton character. You know, everybody knows the Pope, though he doesn't.
But
have
his,
any
I'll tell you though,
talent,
his sex, his secret sex video was terrible.
Yeah, it was so boring. You know, and because you know they had to cut out all the illegal parts. So yeah. Yeah, it was all censored. So pixelated. Yeah. No fun.
But, you know, I guess people just love to be, you know, it's just another guy that's going to boss people around. You know, that's like people need to take orders from some authority figure, and he's just the latest one.
And this guy is in this sort of limbo where whenever he goes, people can always say he's just another head of state because the Vatican City is its own state, very tiny. I think it's actually the smallest recognized state in the world. It's just about it's a couple blocks. And so people say, well, you know, in Mexico, which is a name at least a secular republic, people say, why are you receiving the Pope like that? And why are you doing such a large security, you know, theater for this guy? And no, you know, he's just another head of state. And that's, you know, you don't have that with the Dalai Lama or with some important imam or the Black Pope, which is the head of the Orthodox Church. You don't do that because, you know, he's not another head of state. So he's in this limbo where people can still treat them like a celebrity and governments can still give him a security apparatus, a very large security apparatus without having to say they're sorry or having to apologize.
So
I find that disgusting.
Yeah. Well, what do you know what happened to the last pope? Did he quit?
What actually he did. It's usually a job for life, but this one said he was too tired and he quit. Yeah.
Why didn't God think about that before he gave him the gig?
Well, I don't know. It probably has something to do with him being in the Hitler Youth.
Ooh, right. Okay.
So probably that just obscured a little of his character before. And that's pretty unfair because every child was in the Hitler Youth at that time when he was a I'm just joking. I'm not actually implying that he was a Nazi, but yeah. Yeah, God should have known, right?
Yeah.
You think being omniscient is part of that?
It's typically one of the characteristics that's assigned. And the Pope is infallible, right? So
he's infallible in terms of church doctrine, not in every opinion. Yeah, he's supposed to. Yeah, I don't actually believe that, but you know.
So when he talks about socialism, that's not church doctrine. So he's allowed to be wrong on that.
Yeah, he's allowed to be wrong, and you're allowed to not believe what he's saying.
Okay.
Actually, we talk a bit about that with Randy in some other day in the Fiends, and when he's saying capitalism is detrimental to society and you should be poor and you should experience poverty, he's not infallible in those things.
I think what he's really saying is give the church all your money so I can have more of this luxurious trips around the world, more
you
gold
why?
Leaf
because
for my throne.
That's because he's a socialist and a liar and his feet stink.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Right. I'm Jim and I'm with Hugo.
Hey.
You know, I hate to mention these guys, okay? And because this is probably a really boring subject, but I think there is a lesson to be learned in here and something that we can comment. And I'm talking about this stupid, like, presidential election in the U.S. It's not even coming up for, like, over a year, but it still, like, just sort of permeates the news channels. But anyway, one of these, the Republicans are in a competition now to see who can be the most stupid and bigoted, okay? And Donald Trump got out early as being like, I'm the real bigoted guy. And but the other candidates are now scrambling to say, no, I'm bigoted and I'm a jerk too. So this one guy Ben Carson.
They're saying it works.
Yeah, it's how you mobilize the Republican base. You gotta, you know, it's like how, you know, you gotta hate science. You gotta hate foreigners and Mexicans and Muslims. Anyway, so this guy Ben Carson, and I don't know who this guy is. I think he's a former physician, and people like act like he's smart and. But anyway,
isn't this the guy who's supposed to be a pediatric neurosurgeon?
Yeah, that could be him. Okay. I would not let him near my neurons. Okay, absolutely not. But no,
not even indirectly.
No, this guy makes a stink. Okay, and he had to do something to get noticed because like nobody even cares who he is. But he decided he was going to make news by declaring that he didn't think Muslims should be president. And that he didn't think that Islam was consistent with the Constitution, whatever that means, okay? So he goes, nope, I would not advocate that we put a Muslim in charge of the nation. I absolutely would not agree with that, he says. Okay, so everybody's like, ooh, how, you know, gosh, you know, that's so rude to all these millions of Muslims. And, well, I'm going to say something a little bit controversial, and I'm going to say that I also don't think a Muslim should be president of the United States. And
why is that, Jim?
Well, you know, and I don't think a woman should be president of the United States either. Oh. I'm going to just come out and say it. I also don't think a man should be president of the United States, or a Christian, or a Hindu, or an atheist, or I really don't think anybody should be president of the United States.
I don't think an anarchist should be president of the U.S.
Right. I don't think anybody really, I don't see any need to have a president at all. Okay, like, I mean, do you guys need a president in Mexico?
I don't. Not I.
Okay, so there you go. So Ben, like, just he was trying to just be a bigoted jerk, but he almost like he almost hit on something. He just didn't go far enough with it.
Yeah, he accidentally said a pretty large truth, and the words he said was, I don't want that guy to be in charge of the country. And that's a pretty true and pretty bold statement.
Right.
That's precisely what we don't want.
Right. Nobody should be in charge of this nation. And in fact, even people that believe in government and presidents and the Constitution will tell you that, oh, we have a representative government. Okay. No. A ruler is in charge, okay? So Ben is definitely saying that he thinks the president, and many people do this as well. Like, they call them our leaders. These are our leaders in Washington. No.
No.
No. The president is not in charge of anything except his own personal staff, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and he's probably mismanaging that too. So, I remember one Bill Clinton who used to personally take great care in managing his staff, and well, that came out wrong. You know what I mean.
You know what? He didn't even take care of her dry cleaning. Okay, I mean, that's how.
Yeah. Yeah.
These things can go terribly wrong. Yeah,
that's proof enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ben Carson is his name, right? That's his name.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So Ben Carson just came out as an anarchist, and for that we thank him for bringing anarchism to the GOP. And, well,
he's introduced the hint of,
you're right.
Yeah. He's just introduced it. Unfortunately, he's still a big jerk and a bigot, and we have no need for anyone like him, like, anywhere, as far as I'm concerned. So, but that's, you know, it does kind of say something about, like, this weird thing where people are, or it's like a race to the bottom of humanity.
Yeah, who's the worst thief? Who's the worst, you know, control freak? I don't think a pediatrician should be running the country either.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Meow, meow. And we're back. The Freedom Fiends are back. This is Hugo, the Jet Cockatoo from Mexico, and with me is Jim Babb. What's your wrestling name, Jim?
I am the Rowdy Mud Skipper.
The Rowdy Mud Skipper there. Okay, and after outing anarchists in the GOP, we're back, and this thing has been going on, has been going around on social networks and everywhere in the news. I think I saw it today, but it's been out for a couple days, I guess. And it's news about a drug that went from $13 to, I think it was $600. I don't have
5,000% increase.
Yeah, 5,000% increase overnight.
Went from $13.50 per pill to $750 per pill.
Exactly. So people are giving the free market a hard time over this news, right?
Well, you know, nobody ever blames the right people for these things. It's always, oh, see, this is unbridled capitalism. That's what you get. Just it's profit before people and blah 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 blah.
yeah, and they say that. And well, we should talk a bit about, you know, the truth about Daraprim is the name of the drug,
and it's for what is it?
Well, let's talk a bit about toxoplasma. It's it treats patients with
toxoplasmosis.
Yeah,
toxoplasmosis, not to be confused with talk show plasmosis.
Yeah, which is something
we suffer from around here. But this is toxoplasmosis.
Yeah, and you know, some fiends own cats, and that's a parasite that grows or that has its definitive host in cats. And we get it, and it's no big deal. It's it's been described as the perfect parasite because you don't notice you have it. And it doesn't harm you at all. But if you're immunosuppressed, if you have AIDS, for example, it will get nasty and it could grow in your brain and kill you. So only very few people actually need treatment against toxo for, not to die. People will die with it, not from it. And so the news is this guy, which apparently was a former hedge fund manager hedge fund manager, bought this company, Turing Pharmaceuticals, and the company bought the drug, which is a 62-year-old drug, and it went from $13.50 to $750 overnight. And, well, you know, there's very few people who need this drug, and the laboratory or the pharmaceutical company decided to bring it up. And you know, that's a greed problem, right? That's a problem with greed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's what they say, but and it is a greed problem. There's no denying that, right? I mean, let's face it, you know, people, you know, the,
people want
a lot
money.
Of people are greedy. Let's just say, you know, a lot of people are self-interested. A lot of people want to make as much money as they can. And there's two different ways that people can do that. They can make a lot of money by serving the needs of their customers and trying harder to meet the needs of others, or they can recruit the government to stifle their competition and enhance their profits by giving them a monopoly status on something, right? So the first one I have no problem with, right? You know, like, you know, that desire to make profit brings us so many wonderful things in the world. Like, some, you know, the guys making iPhones, do you think they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart? No, they want to make money, and I get an iPhone.
And they people will sell the iPhone as expensive as possible.
Right.
And yeah, but that possible is, that's the key.
Right. So
when you get the government on your side, you can, suddenly becomes possible to sell some pills for $750.
Right, because, for instance, now, maybe I'm wrong about this, because you mentioned it was an older drug, but is it not protected by intellectual property, or is there a generic version of this instead that you can get for cheaper, or can someone else reproduce the formula and sell it for $13 again?
Yeah, it is a little bit weird, because I'm reading the there's growing concern about huge price increases on all the drugs, some of them generic, and that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, if a drug is generic, if it's no longer covered by a patent, then it shouldn't make any sense that these guys are able to sell it so much for so much more money. And I think that has a lot more to do with socialized medicine and with insurance. Because, you know, if you maybe people cannot afford those $750, but an insurance company sure will be able to afford it, especially if it's for very few people, those who have AIDS or which are comparatively so few people in respect to the whole populations.
Right. Well, you know, and I was just kind of recently scanning this to try to figure out what's going on. One article I read says, well, gee, there's so few people that need this. It's very difficult to make a profit on something that's, because it's the manufacturing process is so expensive. When you have to manufacture it in these like small batches, it's very costly per unit.
But that would be an excuse. How are they able to manufacture it for $13? Let's say it goes.
Maybe
up
it was
to
being maybe it was previously being subsidized in some way. I don't know. You know, I don't know either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying if we look into it, we're going to find out. And you know, maybe I'm prejudiced, but I'm thinking it's the government's fault.
Yeah. You know, it's very, everything is government's fault. And it's very easy to open up, to put up a barrier of regulation on anything. Let's say, for example, this generic drug is at the same time manufactured in China or in India, which is a big producer of generic drugs. And, you know, you can buy a barrel of aspirin there. And you know, just bring it over and package it in small pails and sell it. And let's say some bureaucrat thinks or decides that Chinese Daraprim is not up to spec. So, you know, you can always put up a barrier. You can always not authorize the production or the you know, bringing in the sale of the Chinese version of this. And that's probably what's going on. You know,
right.
Because no matter the cost of producing something, it won't be sold if the patients cannot afford it. And right now we have, well, you guys in the U.S. have this socialized medicine system where people are forced to take insurance. They cannot pay for these things out of pocket. Well, they can, but it doesn't make a lot of sense if you have to buy the insurance and if the insurance has to cover previous conditions. So yeah, probably the insurance company will be able to pay $750 for the, I don't know, 3,000 people in all of the U.S. who need this drug.
Well, a lot of times what they do is that they'll have one price in the U.S. Say, like, I'll bet you this drug, if you go to India or Africa or you know, maybe even Europe or Australia, you might find that, oh, that's still $15, you know, a tablet in these other countries. But here in the U.S., they're going to charge $7.50. And then they say, and we need a law to keep you from importing it from those other countries. You know, like,
yeah, because that's
there's
the
no
thing.
Arbitrage. There's no way for these things to equalize. There's no way for people to say, okay, I'll just get mine from, you know, mail it. You know, conceivably, it would be cheaper to fly to India and acquire the drug and fly home.
Sure, sure. You know? Yeah, sure. And, you know, they'll probably arrest you for having illegal drugs on the plane.
Oh, you're a smuggler.
You're a smuggler. Or, you know, it goes, there's regulations in other countries that also contribute to this. Even if somebody in the U.S. needed this and I could, and I were, if I were able to ship it to the U.S. to this person, I would be able to make a profit, but I cannot ship it because Mexican law prohibits me, prevents me from shipping medicine, medication through either mail or some kind of courier service. So yeah, they're running a cartel.
Exactly. And let's just say that, you know, we had the formula for this drug, okay? And let's just say we knew some chemists and we're like, wow, you know, like, I think we could actually make this in small batches, you know, in our kitchen, hypothetically, okay?
Yeah. Let's say I were a chemistry teacher and I had cancer and I were able to produce, I don't know. Darapim.
Yeah, in an RV out in the desert. Okay.
Yeah.
Now imagine like if you wanted to do that, you know, openly. Imagine what the regulations must be to manufacture a drug and like become an actual like pharmaceutical factory. Imagine the regulations that must be in place by, you know, lobbied for by the other pharmaceutical companies just to keep upstart companies, you know, from getting a foothold.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm thinking probably there's a lot more people in Africa who need this and it could be produced, but they hide behind that excuse that there's so few people who need this. The excuse is just, you know, laughable.
Well, I think, you know, it might be a market opportunity. And if it is, okay, if it is, you know, the market has a great way of working around these state obstacles anyway, right? And it might be temporarily inconvenient. And of course, that inconvenience could be extremely fatal for many people. But given the right amount of time, this drug will be available again. There's no, you know, like somehow, like if it's really $750 a prescription or a pill, now the incentives are like, whoa, someone else is going to be scrambling to get this either done in the black market, either in the gray market, in a rival pharmaceutical company. Somebody's going to make this drug and make it available eventually.
Yeah, and it patients probably will take a risk in getting it, probably, you know, from something like the Silk Road at one point.
Yeah.
And there comes a point where the Silk Road will have to start carrying cycloserine or doxycycline. I'm reading the names of some of the drugs who have gone up in price. Oh, Daraprim. You know, the market finds a way.
It will.
Yeah, let's go to the market. I don't know if they sell.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, "You didn't build that"? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. It's our final segment, Redemption in the Third Act. So what did we find out about this this toxoplasmosis drug? Did we are we expecting some market competitors? Are we going to, into business, going to manufacture this ourselves? Hugo, what do you think?
Well, we should at least send some from here. I'm pretty sure it doesn't cost $700 here in Mexico. And I actually did some research and found a mixed drug that has an antibiotic plus that. So I'm pretty sure it's available here, and I'm pretty sure it doesn't cost that much. I think you've been duped by this guy. He's come up with all sorts of excuses. He's being exposed at that. So, yeah, we should try that. I don't know. If anybody, you just go ahead and contact me on Twitter or something. If you need this drug from Mexico, we'll figure something out.
Yeah, we'll send it by carrier pigeon or, we'll smuggle it in somehow. People could mail you a little bit of Bitcoin or something, send you a little Bitcoin.
Yeah, you could probably do that. Or, you know, for the cost of it, you could probably just fly in from anywhere through some low cost airline and stock up and then go back to the U.S.
You know, and that is the bottom line is that the market does respond, and you know, a great description of the state that I've heard is it's sort of like it's damage. Okay, the state is damage, and the market, you know, works around damage. It reroutes around the damage part of the system. And it always does. No matter where the state tries to interfere, you know, there's so many entrepreneurs out there. There's so many brilliant people. Where there's a will, there's a way. That's why prohibition will never, ever work, okay? Because as long as people want marijuana, it's going to be for sale. No matter what Nancy Reagan says, it's just going to happen. Right?
Just say no, yeah.
You know, and the market just works around these damaged systems.
It's I've compared it to life. So, have you ever seen one of these trees that have been really, really caught up and there's just piece of wood around, and suddenly there's tiny shrub on the side of the tree. It just wants to keep on living and putting out foliage. Yeah, it's sort of like that. You know, the state is the axe there trying to kill the tree, and the tree, even though it's really badly hurt, it moves forward to life. And
well,
that's,
you know,
sort of how the market works.
Yeah, the market is more like the entire forest. You know, it's like, you know, you can burn down huge sections and it's still going to come back and it's still going to work around, and these species will survive. And
sometimes
thank God for that.
Sometimes it comes around with a vengeance, you know.
It does. But I mean, but yet... Yet our lives are still improving on a daily basis. You know, we make a lot of fun of the police and about how terrible the government is, but you know what? But we're also witnessing, you know, like the highest standard of living that the world has ever seen. And today, the poorest people live better than the kings centuries ago. So,
and we're seeing the least amount of wars and the least amount of people dead in conflicts between countries in 200 or 300 years. So yeah, after the 20th century, which was probably an outlier and some horrible time between, I don't know, the 1914 and 1950.
Yeah, look at what entrepreneurs have done for us over the past just past 100 years, you know, or a little more than 100 years has brought us everything from the automobile to airplanes to electricity in our homes and cell phones and satellites and GPS. And I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. Air conditioning, refrigeration, the olive bar at the grocery store.
And you can access all that without, you know, having to have been born in the right place or the right time, except the people who are born in probably North Korea or Cuba and some of those hellholes. Most right. people have access to those things, even if they, you know, just by wanting to have access and working a little bit there and being able to afford that, you know, it's no longer the case that you, whatever your nation decides is what you have to do.
Yeah, you can bypass it.
Yeah, individuals are more free now than ever before. You can, you know, you can love guys if you're a guy. You can love girls if you're girls.
You can love ponies. You can love anything. You love
ponies, yeah.
Anything.
You can like the Teletubbies like I do.
Yeah,
you can do all that.
Yeah, there's so much. There's wonderful stuff in this world. A lot of things to be thankful for.
Yeah, we're thankful for all that. You can live your lifestyle. And, you know, there's still a couple of things here and there that want to make you less free, but we're fighting up against those with our talk show plasmosis.
Yeah, we've got Fiend Phone.